dough.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Ben Cochran, how are you doing this morning, my brother, the Bankster Breaker?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing well. I didn't know Jeff, but I knew a couple of his colleagues, and it's definitely solemn to understand just how young he was. But, you know, I don't want to pretend that I understand what it's like, but I guess, you know, he fought the good fight, and having a brother in arms like that, you know, pass away, I'm glad that you had those good words to speak.
Yeah, it you know, and it was I found out on just I guess it was September 3rd is when I found out, and I was just getting ready to reach out and schedule a program with him and his crazy Chechenian brother there that he has. He joins us on the show, and he's always slugging vodka on YouTube. It's funny, but we have great shows together, and I wanted to get them all over here on my show, but that has passed. But I will be scheduling a show with Laurie and Eric, and get Jeff back on the show again too, and kind of a memorial to Jeff, and because he did a lot of really good work. So he was always out there doing the journalist thing and trying to expose the truth and what's really going on in the world. So again, please, prayers and thoughts, everybody, to Jeffrey's family and his son and his wife, Christy. So what's Absolutely. Going on, brother, man? Lots going on in the news, that's for certain.
Yeah. I was supposed to be on last month. My apologies. Had my own family issues going on, but I'm back. September 7th, we're past Labor Day. And actually, I had so much on the table to talk about last month that I wasn't able to. But it was not a quiet summer from an economic and stock market and interest rate Federal Reserve point of view. So I have all different types of topics to talk about. But I have a question for you. I know you follow economics, you follow some of the financial news, but what is the biggest thing on your radar right now? Is it the debt? Is it the trade war? Is it the interest rates? Is it something else? What are you most focused on right now?
Well, the trade war, it keeps coming up on my show over and over and over again. And I guess I have to focus on that a little bit because I'm so concerned about these trade wars. Historically, they always end up in physical wars. So that's been on my mind. Obviously, the debt as well. And, you know, last week we talked about Trump and his policies. And the one policy that I have to keep agreeing with is his trade policy. But again, you know, where is this all going to go?
Now, that's ironic because that's one of the only things I really agree with Trump on, too. And I know you and I don't fall for the tricks of the mainstream media and the average kind of thought out there. So we've been taken advantage of, well, since 30, 40 years ago by many countries from a trade perspective, but especially since China joined the World Trade Organization. I don't have the exact date on tap, but it was about a week after 9/11. That China joined the World Trade Organization. And from there on, it's been total exploitation.
Yeah, that was, you know, I don't see any coincidence that actually happened at that period in time either. I thought that was kind of odd.
You know, back then I was a senior in high school, so I knew nothing. And I certainly wasn't paying attention to China coming into WTO. But now, nearly 20 years later, looking back on it, I'm like, that's not a coincidence either. It's been a long term plan. And again, it goes all the way back to Nixon visiting China and before that as well. But let's just focus on the past 20 years or so since they joined the WTO. Unbelievable exploitation in so many ways. What I want to focus on is exploitation of the worker in China and the exploitation of the environment in China. Now, you and I may not love the EPA by any means, but I think we can agree we don't want to totally strip mine entire forests and pollute all the water. China doesn't care about that, never has. That's part of the reason they've been able to undercut us and become, you know, a great exporter. And of course, just as bad or perhaps worse is the exploitation of the workers. We've all heard about the slave labor and either the children in the factory slave labor or being literally chained outside or so many horror stories. So, yes, they work hard. They have a lot of people, a lot of industrious people. I don't hate the people of China, but they've been totally taken advantage of, totally smashed since Mao. And just China's willingness to destroy its environment and just take advantage and pretty much make half the population slaves, that's the exploitation. And we're just seeing kind of the late results of that right now.
Yeah, you know, and I wish Americans would key up here and really start to realize that so much, you know, we're shopping at Walmarts and Wally World or the Sam Walls and these big box chain stores, everything. I mean, even the flags we buy are made in China. It's so frustrating. So again, you and I do agree on Trump's trade policy, and I hope he keeps going on with that because I'm tired of seeing us being taken advantage of. And again, we talked about this last week on the show, was about the slave labor in China and some of the other countries. You know, we've got to get a hold on that and get people to understand that, yeah, we might pay a little bit more here if we go to American-based products, but you know, we're also talking about humanity here.
Absolutely. And that was kind of what I wanted to end my segment with you, but I might as well jump to it now. I think we actually do have a true opportunity for an American renaissance. And this is totally politics aside. I'm not a huge fan of Trump, but let's just say, you know, definitely wasn't a fan of Hillary by any means. Regardless, I believe now we have the workforce with the education, but also kind of the unskilled labor we might need. We have the technology. Even though China's stolen a lot of ours, we still have Silicon Valley, and we have a lot of other high-tech ability here in America. We have the natural resources still. Our natural gas and oil, you can say what you will about fracking, and I think a lot of it is dirty, but point is, natural gas hasn't been this low for quite some time. I'm getting gas at $2.30 a gallon here in Northern Virginia. We have the resources. We have the people, the workforce, and I think the education and the technology. Can we turn it around? Can we have a kind of an American renaissance peacefully? And I think buying American is probably the most important thing to do. But I think we can come back from this. But it's also, if we don't take this opportunity now to kind of really reverse gears and make it work, we might lose the ability to come back in the future. I really think the next 5-10 years are super critical.
Yeah, I think so too. And when we start talking about the environment, I think we've all been so bamboozled too into believing that, obviously, there's, you know, all this global warming, this global climate change, blah, 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 blah. And then we get into the realization that this is all being spearheaded by super high echelon elites, really starting to push things like 2021, Agenda 2021, Agenda 2030, where they really want to institute all these carbon taxes on us just for living and breathing. This is ridiculous. You know, we are all God's children here on this planet, and to pay for the fact that I'm living, that's a real bother to me.
Well, we know they've been hiding or not releasing some advanced technologies for many years that could have gotten us off carbon if they actually did what they wanted to do. I agree, the carbon tax is a scam. What I want to focus on, and I think you talk about a lot in your shows and your listeners probably are really in tune with, is there's many other types of environmental damage that's equal or worse and never talked about, whether it's GMO, whether it's 5G, run the gamut. There's so many environmental concerns. Of course, all they focus on is carbon because they have that monopoly with the major utilities and in particular the government regulations to tax us much better. So when you look environmental, I definitely with you, you got to look way beyond just the carbon and greenhouse gases. There's a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah, I like the stuff they're spraying in the sky. I mean, let's get real here. What in the world is going on here? Are they trying to terraform this place or what's going on? It's bamboozling to me, too.
Yeah. And you can go down a lot of routes. I'm sure we could easily go down rabbit holes for hours, you and
Absolutely.
I. And even if you think that they're doing the best, what they think is correct, let's just put all bad actors aside. If they're trying to terraform and they're trying their best, they don't understand the true power of Mother Nature. So it's not going to work regardless.
I'm in George Carlin's camp, you know, when it comes to the earth. You know, this place is – if the earth doesn't want us here, if Mother Nature doesn't want us here, it'll wipe us off like a bad case of fleas. There's not a whole lot we can do about it.
Yep, yep. So we try our best, you know, but in the end, you know, it kind of does come down to that.
So what else is on your radar, man? Hit us.
So just, I think just before I was supposed to be on last month, and that's why I really wanted to get on. So my apologies again, but it's only actually kind of increased in intensity, is the reversal of interest rates. So the Fed, let me, quick history lesson, very quick. Federal Reserve, on average over many, many years, let's just say its interest rate has been 4%. Of course, during the Lehman Brothers and the collapse 2008, they went to emergency levels. They went to 0% interest rates. Over the last couple of years, they've raised interest rates from 0 to 2%. So still not at that average, I said, of 4%, but getting up there. Remember, this 0% they were at was unprecedented, absolute emergency. So over the last couple of years, they stated, hey, we're going to get back to that average 4%. We're going to do it. Guess what they've done in the last 3 or 4 months, but especially in the last 90 days, 60 days, they've done the exact opposite. They've cut interest rates. Their forecasts are for much lower interest rates. Greenspan, everybody remembers Alan Greenspan. He's coming out and saying there's nothing that prevents U.S. interest rates from going back to zero or even potentially negative. And here's one quick statistic. About a month ago, we crossed, all, I think, the point of no return. Ah, we crossed that a while ago. But more than 50% of worldwide sovereign debt, so debt issued by governments worldwide, more than 50% is now a negative interest rate. I mean, negative interest rates should not even occur mathematically. It's not even possible, but they're happening. It's creeping, and the U.S. is kind of falling right back into that black hole. Huge implications all around the world, but I want to kind of hear what you think about that.
Well, the thing that confuses me, Ben, and I think it confuses a lot of people, is when we start talking about negative interest rates. I mean, it used to be that, you know, you could take small change and you could put it into a CD or some bonds and actually do fairly well over the long-term haul, you know, getting 8 to 9% interest, money compounding itself every 8 years, saving for your retirement. That was, you know, obviously the rule of 72 and the miracle of compounding interest. But we can't even do that now. I mean, I looked at putting in some money in a CD, and I'm looking at a 1.5% return on a 10-year CD. That's ridiculous. But how is this affecting the mainstream economy, and how is this going to affect people like you and me who are trying to save for the future? We're not getting our interest rates. Our money's not working well for us. So the money for the country can't be working well for us either.
Absolutely. And I am the breaker of banksters. So let's start at the top. JP Morgan and all those similar banks up there. What are they getting? What are they able to borrow at? 1%, 2%, 3%. I have a credit card. I don't have any debt on it anymore, thank God. P.S. Don't hold credit card debt, please, people.
Yeah.
What do they charge you, 20, 25%? Mm-hmm. So they're looking at a 20-plus percent profit on you per year because of this interest rate apartheid. I'm not going to lie. I stole that from Max Kaiser. I do enjoy his shows. But interest rate apartheid, I think that's one of the biggest things to focus on. Those connected to government or major, major corporations or major, major banks, they get 0% essentially borrowing cost. The average consumer, maybe if you have a great credit score, you get 4, 5, 6%, but the average person is getting 10, 15, 20%. That apartheid is legalized, absolutely legalized, and actually encouraged by our current government.
Yeah, that is just amazing to me. And if you understand the mathematics of borrowing money at interest, you know, when they're charging you 20% interest, folks, your money is compounding itself every 3 years in their pockets. And at those interest rates, it's enormous, the amount of profit that they're making on the credit card debt. And then we have all of the kids coming into college now with these huge, I mean, it's just a big whole debt Ponzi scheme, crazy wacko. Everybody's fully in debt, and then they can't get jobs either. So these people are making money hand over fist. It's just legalized theft.
It is. It's an absolute wealth transfer, and it's not even the 1% stealing from the 99%, although there is some of that, but it's way more like the 0.001% stealing from everybody else. You know, that those $100 million or even billionaire type folks are really getting away with it literally is murder, because people are dying from all types of depression, suicide, other issues because of their situation. So you could say it's legalized murder. I don't know. Maybe we should go that and just call it what it is.
Yeah. I don't think that's beyond any stretch of the imagination. I think that could certainly be brought into it, because people are so burned out, Ben. I mean, people are working 60, 70 hours a week. They got no time for their families. Both parents are right. Working. The kids are now latchkey kids almost all the time. And then we wonder why our kids are out of control. Because everybody is trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't even think that's the case anymore. I think it's everybody's trying to stay out of the debt scheme that this country was put into way back in 1913.
Exactly. I kind of coined it the black hole of death, aka debt.
Right.
It's going to draw you in. You can kind of circle around it and seem like you're getting away, but then you'll quickly be pulled in even faster, and you're slowly going down the drain. And I feel as if these unprecedented bailouts, 700 plus a billion with a B as in boy, given to the banksters in 2008, 0% interest rates, trillions of dollars of quantitative easing. And that's just in America. Trust me, Europe, Japan, China, just as bad or worse. All that kept us afloat for 10 years, but we're finally getting pulled back into the event horizon. And that's kind of what I meant by the point of no return. I think we finally, any escape velocity we had to some degree because of these emergency measures have quit, and we are now falling back down.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I think that we can do as citizens of the United States, even in around the world, is to start getting back to some sort of self-sufficiency and getting off of the debt scheme, grow your own food, take care of your family on a local community level, your local neighborhood level, even your neighbors. That's about the only way we can get out of some of this stuff. You know, and I wanted to bring this up, too, because just recently I've been watching The Shrinkage, dude. I don't eat macaroni and cheese anymore, but I just went and looked at another box of macaroni and cheese. You know, it used to be 8.5 ounces in the same size box of Kraft Blue Box macaroni and cheese. Used to get 8.5 ounces. It's now down to 7.25, but it's the same size box and the price has gone up.
So what they're trying to say to justify these, lowering the interest rates and potentially going negative, we'll see. What they're trying to say is there's not enough inflation. And when there's not enough inflation, you know, the Keynesian economic antidote or prescription is lower interest rates. And but you just hit the nail on the head. Inflation is not 2% or 1.5%, because they don't take into account shrinkage as much as they should. And there's many other little things that they tweak, and it all adds up. Whereas, in my opinion, real inflation is 5, 6, 7%. They're trying to say it's 1.5. They're not talking about rent. They're not talking about property tax. They're not talking about toll roads. I feel like everywhere I go, I'm paying a toll road now, but they never lowered my gas tax. Point is, their calculation of inflation is egregiously false, and shrinkage is definitely a part of that.
Yeah, artificially low. Again, here's people just getting bamboozled in a system that is just pure – it's just a pure debt Ponzi scheme.
And it's so hard to detect, even myself with a master's in finance, and I focus on this all the time. Sometimes I just it's the frog in the boiling water. Like, you even know what they're doing, but you just don't realize, and you just acquiesce and you adapt to it. You know, they use adaption as a negative throughout history, evolution, whatnot, of humanity. We've adapted to our circumstances and made our environment work for us. They're using that against us in a way that we just kind of say, it's okay. I can still pay the interest on my debt. I don't have to worry about paying down the principal. I mean, that's really what they're putting us. And that's just slowly putting the chains on us.
Well, and that's what we've been doing for years and years, all the way back since Ronald Reagan. That study that was done there is that not one single penny goes to pay off the principal debt or even to pay for the things that we would expect as government services. It doesn't go there. It's just paying off the interest.
Not even exactly, not even close. So really, you know, they've been putting those chains on a slow motion for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And now they've clasped a few of the locks on us, and we're pretty much stuck where we are. I still have faith, as I said, but to finish off here, the American Renaissance, I still think, buy American. I have faith in our free market system, but we need to get back to it ASAP.
Good deal, Ben. Always great to have you on the show. Terran Geek coming up next. Bye-bye now.